We're walking in the air. We're floating in the moonlit sky. The people far below are sleeping as we fly. We're walking in the air. A truck driver charged with allegedly crashing into a school bus in Melbourne's West on Tuesday, seriously injuring several children, told police that flashes of sunlight may have altered his perception. Today we celebrate the ascension of Christ. That's right. Today's the day in the Christian calendar where Jesus finally strips off this mortal coil and rises, phoenix-like, into the heavens above. For those of us who are familiar with the Christian liturgical year, Ascension Day is simply the culmination of the great Easter season. The Easter season which began in Lent, with Jesus wandering like a lost tribe, wandering in the desert of darkness and dust, wandering and pondering his purpose and passion, like we all have at one time or another. The Easter season which saw Christ travel to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday to do battle with the powers that be, the powers of politics and big business and institutional religion. And the Easter season which then saw Jesus tried and convicted and beaten and spat upon and mocked and then crucified. And the Easter season which saw him rise again, transfigured, resurrected, not resuscitated, but made holy, whole, inculcated. And now we get to Ascension Day, and it's time for him to stop appearing and disappearing, at least so regularly, at least so bodily. And now it's time for him to not be contained in time and space. And now it's time for him to expand like a bridge from one world into the next, so that we, you and me, we can walk over and on and in him and can connect cosmically with our God. As a result of the collision, 9 of the 46 children on board became trapped on the bus, 8 of whom sustained serious injuries. 2 children required amputations of their hands and arms, and another 30 children were described by police as the walking wounded. We're walking on the air. We're floating in the moon. Lit sky. For some, Ascension Day is just another example of Christianity borrowing from the many great religions of the world all over and attempting to legitimize itself by claiming that it too has a leader like Buddha and Abraham and Confucius and Arjuna, the disciple of Krishna, all of whom apparently ascended this mortal plane, all of whom were whisked visibly to the heavens above. For others, Ascension Day is about metaphor, and it's to help us understand that the Christ energy has been set free from corporal form and is now accessible to us all, and that part of our call as spiritual disciples is to continue Christ's ascension within our own selves and our own lives. And for others, the point of Ascension Day is that it is a day which says to us, "Do not cling to me and set me free, because I will be with you even to the end of time." And you don't need to capture me in your creeds or your doctrines or your countries or your centuries or your denominations or even your religions, because I am cosmic Christ. I am, and in you live and move and have your being, in you and me and wholly thee. The teachers and about a dozen other witnesses, mostly tradies on the way home from work, sprung to action immediately. They began pulling the children out of the bus through a hatch door in the roof and the smashed windows, and with the help of the bus driver, who had also been injured. We're walking in the air, we're floating in the moonlit sky. One of the ways that some traditional theologians understand Ascension Day is that Christ's ascension is the guarantee that he has triumphed over the principalities and powers. So if he has triumphed, as our tradition tells us that he has, then what are we to do? What are we to do with all our tragedies, all the little heartbreaks and the large, like the smashing of the truck into the school bus this week in country Victoria? Which brings us to one of our big questions for those of faith. Where is God when the truck hit the bus? Where is God in the darkness? suffering and power and God. I have preached these words over and over. Theodicy, the word theodicy coming from the Greek, it explores how it is possible for a just God to be present in a suffering world. Most theodicy speaks to a particularly Christian dream, the dream that suffering can be given over to meaning and purpose and that there can be redemption. And so, like Job's friends, we find ourselves coming up with all sorts of impossible explanations, but sometimes, no matter how hard we try, we cannot dream meaning into where there is none. This pervasiveness of suffering has led many to argue that either God doesn't exist, or that God is not all-powerful, or not all-good. Progressive theologians refuse to let go of God's goodness and choose instead to get rid of God's power, and believe that the reason God does not intervene is not because God doesn't care, or because God is trying to teach us a lesson, but because God ontologically just doesn't have this kind of power to begin with. The power that God does seem to have, based on the lived experience of folk across time and place, is the power of presence. Through the surging Holy Spirit, who we can welcome in every moment into our own blood and bone and soul, and who cannot stop the horror, but who can fill us with a courage and a hope and a thirst for justice that can sometimes help us to make the unbearable bearable, and can sometimes sustain us even as the hour grows bleaker, and can give teachers and tradies the strength to reach into smashed up windows and gather children into their arms as the petrol pours out of the upturned bus and the air is filled with weeping. We're walking in the air, we're floating in the moonlit sky. The people far below are sleeping as we fly.